We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 this morning in Sunday school, and when I got to the house of Stephanus, I skipped a very important word intentionally because we are going to talk about that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, down through verse 18, and then we're going to leave there. We'll come back to that. You want to mark that place, and we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Achaia is the region in which Corinth is located. And this letter to the Corinthians is a letter to those people that were in Corinth. So he says, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Watch it, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is talking about the early work in Corinth. And he says in verse 16, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. So he was there when Stephanus got saved, and he was the one who baptized Stephanus. Okay? Now, in verse 15, or 16, yeah, verse 15 of the chapter that we first started reading, 1 Corinthians 16, 15, the Bible says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We'll talk about that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. And Father, right now, I am probably more so than anybody else in this building aware that what you would like to say to your people and what you would like to accomplish in their lives, I can't do. I can be your mouthpiece. You have given me a message. You have given me notes from the message to convey, but this will just be a man talking to people if you don't intervene in such a way that your words are preached with their power. And your words are preached with the power of the Spirit of God. And your words are able to enter the ear, the mind, the heart, the spirit, very soul of the people that are gathered here today. That's miraculous work. Father, we have an adversary. We have distractions. We have just the world. We pray that all of those things can be put aside. We're sitting here that you can talk to your people and accomplish today all that you want to accomplish in the preaching of the Word of God. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, you're probably surprised to see that word in verse 15. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, because you don't hear the word addiction or the word addict or the word addicted today used in the connotation of something good. If you talk to people today that have trouble with drugs or alcohol, they may be inclined to say to you, well, you know, I'm a recovering addict, or I am addicted. And in that case, it's to usually some substance that they're abusing, alcohol or drugs or whatever the case may be. But when you look at the word addict, and again, when you hit something like this, it's a good idea to get your dictionary and look it up, see what the definition is, because then you get the full understanding from the definition of the word that Paul intended when he wrote what he wrote. To be addicted to something is to be strongly inclined to indulge in it repeatedly. I'm strongly inclined to be in church every time the doors are open. See, and that makes me addicted because I am inclined to indulge repeatedly in church services. I like being here. I'm having a good time. I hope you are. I'm having a good time right now. To addict yourself to something. They have addicted themselves. That's a verb, to addict themselves. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. It means to devote or surrender to something habitually or even obsessively. So the house of Stephanus was devoted. They were surrendered to the ministry of the saints. Do you see that? And there's nothing wrong with being devoted, a devout person. We often will say he is a devout Methodist or a devout Catholic or a devout Baptist. They're devoted means they're surrendered. They're in it. Early on, like as Paul used the word here, it means to give over or to surrender or apply or devote oneself habitually. An addict is a devotee, an ardent. You know what an ardent means? An ardent, a zealous follower, a zealous supporter, a zealous enthusiast. I am a zealous enthusiast for Jesus Christ. And I look around here, and many of you are zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. People that know you know where you stand when it comes to Jesus Christ because you are wild about Him. Listen, yesterday was college football. So was Thursday, so was Friday. Today is NFL, Monday night, NFL. Do they play NFL on Tuesday night? Anyway, there's a lot of football going on this time of year. And if you are wild about sports or wild about football, you know what they call you? They call you a fan. I'm a sports fan. I'm a football fan or a soccer fan or a volleyball or, okay, we can go down the deal, right? You get it. That's just short for fanatic. See, if you are wild about sports, you are a sports fan. If you are wild about Jesus Christ, you're a fanatic. And somehow or another, that just has a bad connotation. Well, Stephanus and his house were fanatics about the ministry of the saints. You know, when you're addicted, that is fully devoted, fully surrendered, then here's what happens. You read about, just in these few verses we've read of Stephanus, you see a pattern of somebody who is zealous for the Lord, devoted to the Lord, surrendered to the Lord, and it affects his life completely. First thing you notice is this. If you're addicted to the Lord, you lead your family to the Lord. You lead your family to the Lord. Now that's easier to do, obviously, when they are living in your house. And so he says, you know, in verse 15, you know the house of Stephanus. That means he and those people that are living in his house. This is much harder when they get older under your roof, or certainly when they leave, because when they get older, your children are making their own decisions. But if you get fired up about the Lord and your children are young, it is, and they're in church and they're hearing Sunday school lessons and they're hearing junior church and they're hearing preaching like you're hearing today, that is not uncommon for those children to get saved. Many of us, our children have been in church with us since they were babies. And so in their young age, they got saved. You lead your family to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1, we read that passage of Scripture in verse 16. You know what it said about Stephanus? He was, and it says here, Paul baptized him. And here in verse 15 of chapter 16, it says, the first fruits. They got in, and his family got in with him. Notice a passage of Scripture that you probably quoted before. Go to Acts chapter 16. Don't leave the text. We'll come back right to it. Look at Acts chapter 16. This has always interested me. When Paul and Silas were in jail, and they were imprisoned because they were serving the Lord, and they cast, we're in Acts chapter 16, they cast a devil out of a woman that had a spirit of divination. She was making money for her owners. And when they could no longer make money, they accused Paul and Silas of being bad guys. And so without a trial, they wound up in jail. They're praying and singing praises. An earthquake happens. The jailer thinks everybody's escaped. They didn't. They're all sitting there enjoying Paul and Silas. And really. So watch what he does. In verse 29, here comes the jailer. He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He saw kind of a revival going on there in the prison. What must I do to be saved? And watch what they said. Verse 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." But that's not all they said. What'd they say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." What? "And thy house." You see, when you become zealous for the Lord, you lead your family to the Lord. They saw Dad go in there, get all excited about this. He brings them into his house. He says, "Sit down, kids. Sit down, Mama. Listen to this." And they preach the gospel. Verse 32, they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. So this is a tremendous thing. See, that's the beauty of getting saved and then not keeping it to yourself. That's the beauty of getting saved and then finding a place where the gospel is preached, getting your kids in there, getting your wife in there so they can hear the gospel that you've heard. Next thing you know, they get saved. That's a tremendous thing. And that's what happens, see, when you addict yourself to the ministry, or when you addict yourself to the Lord. There are a lot of people today who heard the gospel somewhere, I'm sure, got saved, but they didn't want to go to church, and they didn't want to read the Bible at home, and they didn't care much more about just this one thing. They just wanted to not be, you know, going to hell. But they didn't lead their family because they didn't get in. They didn't start, you see. They didn't get baptized and then start going to church and following the Lord. You know what Joshua said? When Joshua was finishing up in Joshua chapter 24, he got the Jews into the promised land. They defeated all the enemies that were there. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, he said this, "As for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. We will follow the Lord." How could he do that? Because, listen, once he got in, he was sold out, if you will. He was on fire. He was zealous. He was addicted to the Lord. And his family said, "That's a good thing. We'll get in on that. We'll get in on that." Now, you know what that requires? That requires faithfulness on your part. Faithfulness on your part. What is the definition of addicted? Addicted. Strongly inclined to indulge in, listen, repeatedly. Addict, to devote or to surrender to something, listen, habitually. You make a habit out of the Christian life. You go to church and, you know, your kids go with you. Today is not like it was years ago. And I'm not saying that the other ages were better. I'm just saying in this one thing, you ought to do what happened years ago. Years ago, my recollection, I lived back during those days. Dad ran the house. Today, the children run the house. We'd be in church, but you know, there's a sporting event this afternoon, and my children, we'd be in on Wednesday night, but you know, our kids they're involved in the sport league here, and it's funny how the sport league moved their games to Wednesday nights and Sunday afternoons. Sunday afternoon was off limits when I was a kid. You go to the grocery store, we had blue laws. Amen. All right, you got Google, look it up. I'm not going to explain it to you. It was just a foregone conclusion. You were going to do something for God that day. We used to say, "This is the Lord's day." Well, listen, you just established the habit in your household. We're going to be there to be fed. We're going to be there as part of what's going on in our church because we're addicted. Listen, a person who's addicted to alcohol, if he's got the money, he's going to be in the bar. When? Every day. Why? He's addicted. I have a friend of mine who pastors a church, and he said, and they give a tremendous amount of money to missions. And he said, you know what you need to do? You just need to go out and you need to lead a lot of drunks and druggies to the Lord. Because once they get off the dope and once they get off the alcohol, they already know what it means to be addicted, and they'll have a whole lot of money they don't know what to do with. They'll just give it to missions. Man, that's a good idea. Now, I understand that it's easier to have this kind of influence on your children when they're young and at home, but listen, every time that they are here and exposed to a Bible club, exposed to junior church, exposed to Sunday school, you know what you're doing? You are laying a foundation. You're laying a foundation. Now, when they get older, they're going to make some of their own decisions, and sometimes they're going to make decisions, and you're going to pull your hair out. You can see my children have made some decisions I didn't like. Work here. Don't, you know, work, pull the ears and the nose hairs. Don't pull these ones up here. You see what happens. But listen, and you can't run their lives for them. But let me tell you, there's a foundation. There are many children who, when they're 20s, just went out and did whatever they did, but they had a foundation. They came back. You know what you need to do during that? Just hold the course. Don't waver. Look what Paul said to them in verse 13. Watch ye. Look at this. Stand fast in the faith. Don't waver. I think the worst thing in the world you can do when your children decide to make a decision to stray is to stray with them. That's the worst decision you can make. You stay right there doing what you're doing and pray. He said, watch you. Pray like crazy. And just wait. Many of them will see that and they'll say, man, I'm telling you what, mom and dad are better off than we are. They've just gone on with the Lord. We got over here. We're just going to get back in line again. You lead your family to the Lord. When you get addicted, when you're in, you lead your family to the Lord. But that's not all. You lead your friends to the Lord. You lead your friends to the Lord. Look at verse 15 here again. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. I already stressed this word, watch it, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. What does that mean, the first fruits? That means there was more that came. Right? One of the hardest things a missionary has to do is start planting a church in an area. If he goes like we've got some missionaries now in various countries and they say, we're going to start a new church in this area. All right, what they do is they rent a piece of property and then they start this church there and it's him, his wife, and his children and maybe one or two good friends and they call it a church and the people come in and they're like, you call this a church? It's just you and your family and one or two other people. And they're used to a church with people in it. And it's hard to get people to come and stick in that situation. But they stay with it, and you know what happens? Some people start coming, and they get at it, and they get at it, and they get at it, and one day you go down there, and you go, well, wow, look at that, and there are 100 people coming. What is that? They had to start with the first fruits. Difficult. They had to start with the first fruits. And Stephanas was of the first fruits of Achaia. That's why Paul said, I baptized him. I baptized Crispus. I baptized Gaius. Don't think I'd baptize anybody else. Oh, yeah, I baptized the household of Stephanas. Man, this is early on in that ministry. Now Corinth is a big church. You know how Corinth grew? Stephanas had an effect on other people's lives. You say, how do you know that? He had a testimony. Look again at verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, look, you know. You know the house of Stephanas, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. In other words, they had a reputation, they had a testimony for their service to the Lord, and it was known. Others are affected by your testimony. Others are affected by your witness. Go back with me to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, you're reading about a guy named Cornelius. Cornelius was a very devoted man. He just wasn't saved. He was a religious man. He just wasn't saved. And he needed to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, in Acts chapter 10, you see in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. We have some preachers up in the Northeast that are Italian. Camilleri, Massa. They call themselves the Italian band. All right. Verse 2. A devout man. And one that, watch it, feared God with all his house. You see? With all his house. Which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, Peter found out about this guy and was led by the Lord to go witness to him. Verse 22. When he got there, the people said, let us tell you about Cornelius. They said, Cornelius, the centurion, that means he's a captain of 100 soldiers, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So when Peter came into Cornelius' house, look what he found. Verse 27. As he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Who were these? Verse 24. Who were these? The morrow after they entered into Caesarea and Cornelius waited for them, he called together his kinsmen and near friends. See that? Cornelius wasn't saved yet, but he was devoted to the point that he had a testimony of devotion among other people. He said, there's a preacher coming over here that's going to preach to us the words of God. Come to my house and hear what this man has to say. And those folks got saved. Those folks got saved. When you get saved, and your salvation has had effect on your families. I'm looking around here and seeing people literally that I met when you were little bitty, and now you're big bitty. And I was around when you got saved, and here you are in church. You led your family to the Lord. And now some of you are actually asking other people to come to church, and they're here because of your witness and because of your testimony. Now, not everybody's going to be excited to hear from you. Have you ever gone to somebody and you're all excited? Man, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ! And they're saying, you're nuts. Well, don't let that bother you. They think you're a fanatic for Jesus, but you know something? They're a fanatic for their own thing. Their work or their recreation or their whatever they do. They are the same way. They're just a fan of other things besides you. But I'll tell you one of the most effective things that is happening in our church right now, at this moment, is the distribution of these New Testaments. They're back there on the back row in the basket. You know where they are because many of you help yourselves to them. I don't think there is a week that's gone by recently that I haven't heard a testimony from somebody here in the church who has said to me, so-and-so had a birthday and I didn't know what to give them, so I gave them one of our New Testaments. And showed them how it was marked and put the tract in there in John chapter 14 and showed them about the lessons that they could read to help them grow. Because on their birthday, they were looking for a gift and said, I can't think of a better gift to give you than the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Here, take this. That's really something. I got a telephone call Friday from a lady in our church and she was just bubbling over with joy. Oh, I just had to call you. I couldn't wait to call you. Oh, really? What's happened? The men from Spectrum were here. Wow. I bet that was exciting. No, they came here to fix something with my internet and I had a couple of my New Testaments and I went over and I got those New Testaments and I went up to them and I said, I have something for you. This is a New Testament that we've printed in our church and I just want you to know that you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ and it's all written right here just for you. And I'm just so excited. I was like, wow, I'm excited too. Amen. It wasn't about the men that came to fix the internet. It was about telling other people about Jesus Christ. You know what that is? That's an addiction. Listen, if you ever see anybody get saved because you've told them about Jesus Christ, that's going to put something in you that you're going to want to see happen again. Repeatedly. If you have never taken one of these New Testaments, you ought to take one. You ought to read those underlined verses that are in there. You ought to look at those lessons in the front. And then you ought to pray. Lord, listen. I want to see like Cornelius did. I want to see like Stephanus did. You take what you've given to me and spread that to somebody else. Right? He'll do it. Before long, you'll be getting a kind of a, and you're like, you want me to give it to them? Jesus died for all of us, didn't he? Yeah. See, when you're addicted to the ministry, when you're fully devoted and fully surrendered, you lead your family to the Lord, you lead your friends to the Lord, and here's this. You know what you do? You become part of the ministry. You become part of the ministry. Look at verse 15 again. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to what? To the ministry of the saints. To the ministry of the saints. When God saved you, He didn't just save you to just like, okay, we're going to put this whole thing of eternal life on hold and I'll see you when you die. They could preach your funeral and say, you know, he got saved. And everybody else was like, really? Wow, I didn't know that. I knew he's a good guy. Just okay. Say he's in heaven. Wonderful. And then you get to heaven and say, okay, Lord, now what do we do? No, when he saved you, he saved you for the express purpose, not only so that you could be his son, not only so that you could have a home in heaven, but so that he could do something with you, give you something to do. Become a part of the ministry. And Stephanus got that. You see, Paul baptized him. He was just a brand new convert at that time. He was the first fruits of Achaia, so some other people got in on that besides his own house. And now he says, you know what? I want to do for others what Paul has done for me. I want to minister to the saints. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 18. In other words, when you get saved, God puts you in the body of Christ. He puts you in the spiritual body of His own Son, literally the physical body of His Son, but the spiritual body of His Son as well. This is what you see going on around you right now with these saved people that are here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, but now hath God, verse 18, now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Way back there in the Old Testament, when God called Jeremiah, He says, from a child, I want you to be a prophet. You know, I believe what the Lord does in designing, He's the creator. The easiest way to remove all accountability of yourself from God is to believe in evolution. How'd you get here? I don't know. Not real sure. They say monkeys. I could have guessed that looking at you. Oh, listen, He's the creator. He says, that person right there would be real good in my body to do this for me in the ministry. So He set the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. He has something for you to do. Something that He wants you to do. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I set you in there. Got something I want you to do. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this. It took me a long time to come to this, but I know what it is He wants me to do, and I'm doing it right now. To pastor, and part of pastoring is to preach. Look at this. When the Lord ascended up into heaven, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, let's read into it. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's what I am. That's what Randy is. That's what Tony is. Some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Make it stronger. Till we all come, not just the ministers, but everybody, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Man, there are all kind of people out there right now that like to pick you off and give you a doctrine that would cause you to stray. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there's the head of the body. Watch it. from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice that thing. Whole body, fitly joined, verse 16, compacted, every joint supplieth, every part, and the body increases unto the edifying of itself in love. You got something to do. You got something to do. When you got saved, you're in. You know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. And when you are addicted to the ministry of the saints, you're saying, I am fully devoted, Lord. I am surrendered to do whatever it is that you want me to do in and for this body, for your sake. And then he uses you to do that. And it happens in such a way that because you're addicted to the ministry, you like it. I love what I do. I love the ministry. Slight detour. May I tell you something? There are a lot of hardships in the ministry. I have friends of mine in the ministry. They've had to endure the death of a spouse. I have a minister friend that had to deal with the death of a spouse. She took her own life. They have to deal with wayward children. They have to deal with church members who get upset and fight and try to tear up the church or tear down the reputation of the ministry or the minister. Then dealing with our own temptations, our own flesh, our own family matters, all those kind of things. There are hardships associated with the ministry. Paul wrote about his hardships in the ministry in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Our lives are not anything like that. He was getting beaten, imprisoned, whipped, stoned. And yet he loved what he was doing. And other people knew that if they addicted themselves to the ministry like Stephanas and his household did, that there was a cost associated with that, but they loved it. And you know something, when you do something that you love, you accept the risks. And you accept the hardships and you accept the expense. Some people love to rock climb. There's a risk in that. There's a hardship in that. There's an expense in that. They say, I bear all that because I love doing what I'm doing. People, we talked about sports that play college football and NFL football. They know there's a risk associated of serious injury. But they love what they do. Soldiers, they know that there is a risk of serious injury or death. And I don't think that they do it to get rich. I think they like what they're doing. And they accept those. And the ministry is the same way. There's just something that God puts in us that says, I have something that I want you to do, and it fits the way that God made you so that you actually love what you're doing. You're addicted to it. You're devoted to it. You're surrendered to it. Not because of obligation. Not by constraint. It's just, this is what I love to do. You find a place, your house, those that are still serving the Lord, they find their place of ministering to the saints. They become devoted. They become zealous. Look in Titus chapter 2. Look in Titus chapter 2. Each one of us has that special thing that we can do. And the ministry functions well when we all do our part, when we all supply our piece. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 14, verse 13, for the context, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. He did that. He saved us from our sins. Praise God. Not only that, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, we look at that word peculiar and say, yeah, he's kind of a peculiar fella. He's not using it in that sense. Peculiar meaning distinctive, special. God has given you something special, something distinctive that fits in the body. For instance, I only have two knees. And really, I only have one right knee. And I have one left knee. And it wouldn't be good if I had two right knees. You know, I'd be walking like this. You know, it wouldn't be good. I have two elbows. I only need two. But they are distinctive. I've got a right elbow and a left elbow, right hand, left hand, so forth and so on. I got two eyes, but they function differently. I have two ears. I don't like, but I don't use those very often. Distinctive. Peculiar. Lord, is there something? Lord, I'm addicted to you. Get saved. Habitual, faithful in church. Suddenly your children get saved. Somebody else you know gets a New Testament, a tract, a witness from you. They get saved. And you're like, Lord, is there anything else that you want me to do? And he says, you know, I'm glad you asked because I got you. You can do this. You help and you labor with the other ministers. Look back here in verse 16. 16:16, 1 Corinthians. That you submit yourselves unto such. That you submit yourselves unto such and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I'm glad of the coming. Look at this. See, you take on part of the ministry. You become an extension of the ministry. Let me just give you an example. I can do this safely without trying to, you know, point out one individual. I can do this because he's your associate pastor. But when Randy came, he just said, look, I'm all in. Whatever you need, I'm all in. I don't care what it is. Just, and so there were things that needed to be done. They were in the area of things that he could do. Shampoo carpets, deal with plumbing. Those were things that he could do. Help with construction. But I'm all in. I'm devoted. I'm addicted. And what God was doing in his life that we didn't know and he didn't know at the time was that he was preparing him to be your associate pastor. And what happened is that all took place over a gradual time as he grew in the ministry and became this. And now Paul says, submit yourselves to such. So he's in a place now of authority. He's in a place of leadership. And he's in an extension of the ministry that God gave us. But there are people that want to do things and you can come and say, what do you want me to do? And you see how that works? Submit yourselves, he says, unto such and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Do you understand? I'm not pointing that. I was using him as an example because he's right under your nose. You see how that happened. You see, that's something that God did. And then he says, look what he says. Verse 17, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. You know what happens to you? When you become part of the ministry, you get others to follow. You get others to follow. They say, that's what God did in your life. I'm devoted. What can I do? And suddenly there are people like Fortunatus and Achaicus who join up and help out and say, we want to be a part of that as well. We have a port ministry, for instance, and we've got somebody that helps, you see, addicted to that ministry, getting others to follow. Look what he does in verse 17. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. In becoming part of the ministry, you get others to follow, but you also see and fill the needs that arise. In other words, Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus realized, Corinth, we have an opportunity to help Paul in the ministry, and those guys just threw in big and said, whatever it was, we're going to do this. And they did it as representatives of the church in Corinth, but they saw the need, they filled the need. Paul said, man, that was a great thing because they were part. And what was the result in ministering this way? Watch, verse 18, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. That's what I just did. But he says, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. You know what one of the devil's greatest tools is? To knock you out or knock somebody out of the ministry? Discouragement. And Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus said, man, Paul's going to need some help here. boom, they supply that lack of need. And he goes, wow, you have refreshed me. But not only me, you've refreshed the spirits of the church. Because you did that in your ministry as part of the church, not for your individual recognition. You've refreshed my spirit. You encouraged me. And they refreshed the church. They encouraged the church. Listen, when Paul said acknowledge them, you know what he's saying? There's others of you in the congregation that can do the same thing. Step up. Get in. Become addicted. You're helping. You're helping me. You're helping the church. I look at that thing and I think, wow, this text is so wonderful for where we are today, because right now in this building, there, number one, is probably somebody here that has not yet trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. And you're listening to a guy who got saved a long time ago who's been doing this a long time, and I'm like, yoo-hoo! Come along, let's ride! But in order to be able to join our posse, you got to be one of us. You got to be saved. You got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I didn't preach the gospel, and I'm not going to start preaching the gospel now, but I'm just going to say this. If you're here today without Jesus Christ and you're not saved, you don't need me to tell you that. The Holy Spirit has just alerted you, because He comes to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. And if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, you know that. So what are you going to do about it? I'm going to sic Randy on you. He's a helper in the ministry. So he's addicted. He's addicted to this. At the end of this, we're going to offer an invitation. You get there and say, Randy, tell me how I can get in. He'll show you right out of the Bible, the verses of Scripture, so you can be saved. And then once you get saved, you know what you need? You need to get baptized just like Stephanus did. And you need to get your family in here just like Stephanus did. And then you need to get here so that you can continue to be fed and grow and have a testimony among your peers and friends, and a few of them will get saved, and then find your place. And that all goes through a period like that, and then you refresh the spirits of the saints that are here, and you refresh the spirit of the ministers. That's a tremendous, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Addicted. I'm an addict. For the cause of Jesus Christ. Watch you get addicted. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. Amen. Father, thank you so much today for an opportunity to open this Bible and see a word that's used today in a very negative context and understand it to be used in a very positive context. Father, how much we love you and how much we love the ministry and how much we love what you've given us the opportunity to do. Thank you. Thank you, Father. While the heads of these folks are bowed, I want to thank you, Father, in front of them. I thank you for those in this congregation that are addicted to the ministry of the saints. My spirit, Randy's spirit, Tony's spirit, we are refreshed by those who unselfishly, habitually do their part in the ministry. I acknowledge them before you, Father, and thank you publicly for what they do. They know what it is you want them to do. They do it. They do it well. They've taken part of this ministry, and they love it, and we love them for it. Thank you for that, Father. I also thank you for those that are here that have been toying with the idea. Now they see from the Scripture how to get in, how to take it a step further, and I pray that you'll do that. Father, some of us, our children grew up in church, and they were with us every time the doors were open, and now they've made decisions that are contrary to you. I pray for them, Father, that they will understand we made the right choice. I really do. And that what we're doing today is the place of peace and joy and comfort. And then I pray, Heavenly Father, for anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that truly your Holy Spirit will bring reproof right now to their hearts to let them know, hey, he's talking to you. You need Jesus Christ. You can receive him today. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, is there anybody here today right now you just lift your hand up and say, Preacher? Preacher, you're talking to me. I'm not saved. I know it. I'm not saved. And I want you to pray for me. I just want you to pray for me. I need to get in on this. Anybody like that today? Just raise your hand right now and say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Okay. Father, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, take what you've given to your saints and speak to us all. Heavenly Father, to realize the best way to live the Christian life is by being addicted to the ministry of the saints. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.